Today, Dr. Justin Traveler is here to talk to you about chiropractics as well as just healthy options for a healthy, happy life. He also does acupuncture, laser. There's a lot more to chiropractic than what we used to think of as the back cracker, neck, you know, the neck cracking thing, and it would scare people, and basically the medical community wasn't wholly on board with that. So he's going to be able to answer some questions, give you some information on how to stay healthy and prosperous, as well as nutrition, which is something else that we don't get from our regular medical doctor. So I won't keep going. This is Justin, Dr. Justin Traveler. He's also in sports medicine, trainer.
Yep. That's good.
Okay.
All right. Okay, that worked. Here, I'll turn this off if this one's working. Well, thank you, Kathy, and I'm glad that I could be here. It was, I had all sorts of good handouts and good things that I had, and I thought they were in my bag, and I ran from the office. I thought I was going to be late, so we were rescheduling patients and putting them all in different spots, and then I got here and realized that all my notes are there. But that's okay, because I just told Kathy, I said, well, here we are, you know, at the Lord's house, and so the Lord's going to direct and guide my words and speak by the Spirit. It usually goes a little bit better that way anyway, right? So that's what we're going to get today. Now, I did get some notes. I put some notes online. People always say, you look so young, you should know computers pretty well, and I say, well, I don't, but I have figured out how to put a few things online, and so I was able to write down some notes, and I'll probably take a peek at a few of those. But now, and you're going to have to remind me again, Kathy. I don't even remember how long. What time am I supposed to go to?
Well, until 1, but then you can cut it off.
So if I run out of things and take questions, then we'll do that. Okay. Well, like Kathy said, Dr. Justin Traveler, I've been working in healthcare now for almost 9 years. Mostly chiropractic. When I was 15 years old, I got hurt playing soccer, and my mom said, we need to take you to a chiropractor, and I said, what's a chiropractor? And she actually said, we're going to take you to Morgan. Now, Morgan was a soccer coach. He coached 5 different teams, and one of those was my brother's soccer team, and she said, we're going to take you to Morgan, and I said, well, why do I need to go to a soccer coach? What's he going to do for my neck? And she said, well, he's a soccer coach after work, but during the day he's a chiropractor. And that's when I said, what's a chiropractor? She took me, and I walked out of the office that day, and I turned to her and I said, I want to be a chiropractor. That's what I want to do. And I haven't really strayed from that, other than my parents tried to convince me out of it, right? They most of our family comes from a family of attorneys. It's not what my dad did, but he tried to talk me into that, and don't be offended if there's any attorneys out there, but I decided against that. I actually spoke to an attorney as I was kind of deciding, and he said, well, you got to do it where your passions are. So if your passion is law, then go be an attorney and you'll love it. And he said, but if your passion is helping people and being physical and that stuff, then that's what you should do. And so I said, well, I think my passion's in that. So that's kind of my intro and how I got into it. My passion is health, and that's what I love to do and talk about, and I'll travel all over and give these little talks. It's been a little bit less and less. The busier you get in the office, the less time, but Kathy's been coming in a long time, and so she said, a long time? It's a while back, she said, would you mind coming and speaking? I said, I'd love to. So it's been kind of hectic lately. We just moved our office on Monday, so our whole office is just in shambles, and they all thought I was abandoning everybody when I came here, but I was happy to leave for a minute and let them. My office is just right, if you go downtown, it's in the Jones Waldo building. So if you know where the police station is right downtown, we're just right behind that. There's a 3-story building, and I used to say we're on the first floor, but now we've moved in the same building up to the second floor, and the name of our office is the Healthology Experts. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that I do, but really I wanted to talk mainly just about health. What I wanted to start off, now the notes that I put down, there's a lot of different lists. And when it comes to health, I think everybody's got their own opinion of what's most important and what should come first and second, third. And so I guess I'll give the preface and say this is health according to Dr. Traveler. I'm of the firm belief that you should trust your gut. And as we just talked about, I think that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you what you need to do. I think that we all kind of have different directions that we need to go. And that's why, you hear the joke saying that this is the practice of medicine. And so we're all just practicing out there, right? No one really has it down to an art. And some people, things just work. It's what people will come in and ask me, they'll say, can you give me a guarantee? And when they ask for a guarantee, you got to be careful, because usually I keep a big nail that's about this big in my drawer. And I pull out that nail and I say, the only guaranteed to get you out of pain is this acupuncture needle right here. And it's the size of the nail. I say, you put it right here in your forehead and you drive it about 5 inches deep, and I promise all the pain will be gone. But anyway, it just doesn't work on everybody the same way. Until we pass from this life, that's when sometimes we'll maybe completely out of pain. But what we do is try and help people as best we can, try and deal with pain. But even more than that, not just get out of pain, but be healthy, truly healthy. And I believe at any age, I heard, what was it, 90, where'd she go? Over here. 91, and your husband, 94 it was? 94. She can still get healthier today than she was yesterday, and healthier tomorrow than she was today. That's always what I say to my patients. Me. Younger and younger every day. That's what we say. My oldest patient is 96. I had one that was 102, but she passed away last year. And so it doesn't matter what your age is. You can always be working. And so that's why I say my motto is just become healthier today than you were yesterday. Make a few more choices. And so that's what we're kind of going to talk about today, is choices. So we'll get started right now. In our office, we have what we call the seven essentials. And the seven essentials are what we have found that if we address these seven things, that people can become healthier and healthier and be healthier today than you were yesterday. Younger, right? Younger, younger and younger every day. Well, so what I always say is you want to die young at an old age, right? So that's going to be the best thing. So that's what we want to do. Now, the first one of the seven essentials is structure. Now, I'm a chiropractor, so I've got to put structure on there. Now, structure to me is just our building blocks as we're holding still. As you look at me, we try to look and assess and try and find out, there's probably been some joint replacements and different surgeries that we have, and all we're trying to do is just put everything together structurally. So that's the first thing that we do, is we try and look at people structurally. Now, you could say, and I could, give a tout and shout out for us. That's where chiropractors come into. We try to adjust, and there's lots of different ways. As Kathy says, if you haven't been to a chiropractor, some of them are still do it the old school way with lots of popping and cracking, and some patients really like that. But there's a lot of different ways that you can adjust. I find that as you get, as the years start adding up, our joints don't move quite the same way as they used to. And so as chiropractors, we need to address that. And that's why I said my oldest patient was 102, now 96. And I promise you, I'm not doing a lot of popping and cracking on my 96-year-old gal that comes in. What we use is mostly computers. So that's, we say we don't love computers. I usually fight with all my computers, but when it comes to adjusting, we use more percussion. And we'll talk a little bit more about movement as we get into one of the others, which is exercise. But we use more percussion, and it's quite gentle, and there's a lot of ways that one that's 96, we have to usually talk her out of wanting to come again. She wants to come every day if she could, but we have to try and tell her, no, you need to give it a little time and see how it does, but because she says it feels good. And that's what we're in, helping people to feel good. But when it comes to structure, I always say we want to first work on stability. Sometimes I feel unstable a little bit, but we're not talking mentally here. We're talking structurally. And with stability, as Ralph, and I didn't even say, I've worked with Ralph for a long time now, so it was a pleasure I got to see him. And he and I have worked together with different training over at the community center and loved working with Ralph. And when Ralph and I were trying to help people and train people, it oftentimes comes down to structure and whether they're stable. Now, what I wanted to show here, and I don't know if everyone can see me. I may have to climb up on one of these tables if it can support me. I did bring a copy. It's my ugliest copy, and I don't know, did we get enough for everybody, do you think? Okay. Well, let's pass out what we got here, and if we need to make another one, I'll hand that to Kathy, and we can. The reason why I brought this is because, you know, we can talk about adjusting and getting in different positions and things that way, but really what I tell patients, the question that they all have is, how can I get it to stay? How can I get, you know, we have to adjust it. How can I get it to stay? And sometimes it just takes a little bit of work, depending on how bad we're off, you know. If you've been working on stuff for a long time to make it real bad, sometimes it takes a little time to get it good. But one thing that I say, there's two types of exercise. The type of exercise that Ralph and I do at the gym is typically to help you get stronger, help your lung capacity, things that way. These exercises, and I apologize for how ugly it is, this sheet of paper has actually been with me, now not this very sheet that you have, but this copy has been with me since I started working in chiropractic. Now I said I've been practicing chiropractic for 9 years, but I actually worked, when it came time to get a job, a real job, I went into the chiropractor that treated me when I was 15 and I said, I want to be a chiropractor, what should I do? And he said, it just so happens that my assistant is quitting in 2 weeks, so why don't you come work for me? And so that chiropractor that got me into chiropractic, I worked for him for 2.5 years before I went off to chiropractic school as I was finishing my undergraduate. He gave me this copy, so that was back in, let me think, that would have been in 2001. So this copy's been with me since 2001, and I just keep reshooting it. And you can see I've lost it a few times and had to recopy a copy, so it's gotten really ugly. But I love what it does. This helps you to stabilize your pelvis, okay? So at the very least, I tell patients, if you can do these exercises every day, if you can do these exercises every day, you'll start to stabilize. And that's why they're different than the exercises Ralph and I do at the gym. They don't necessarily make you get big, strong muscles or help with your cardiovascular health, things that way. It helps you to become structurally stable. And if you can stabilize, say, your hips or wherever it is. This one's just the pelvis because I find if someone can stabilize their pelvis. And I don't even know, Kathy, have I shown you these? Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I give them to most. I always tell patients, that's why I always feel bad because sometimes, you know, you're trying to rush and you don't remember who you showed what exercises. And so what I say is I always apologize to people if I haven't shown you exercises because if you can do these and turn them into a habit, that's what really keeps you out of my office. If you can become stable in your hips and up into your neck, that makes such a big difference. And as was stated by Kathy, my master's degree is in sports science and rehabilitation. That's actually how I got into doing the training and stuff with Ralph, was through my master's degree. But these stabilizing exercises are really good and essential. Now, I could, I don't know if I should show. Can everybody see? Where should I get? Because you almost, I always tell, you can do these in bed. They're easier to do on the floor, something that's a little more stable. The bed's sometimes a little squishy. But if you can do these in bed, and there's a few rules to them, though. Rule number one, they cannot hurt. If you see on there, it should be written, no pain. If one of these exercises hurts, throw it out. Just don't do it. Say, I'll try it again tomorrow, see if I can, you know, do some modifications. That's rule number one. And rule number two is you got to do them every day and making sure that they don't hurt. So do you want me to, I can show you these real quick. I kind of look silly when I'm doing them. I always say don't do them in front of anybody. They'll laugh at you. But if you want, I can either climb up on here or I can get down on the floor. Or I can show them after. What do you think I should?
After.
Afterwards, I'll show everybody. We can kind of gather around. If you have any questions, I'll show you these exercises. But if you can turn them into a habit, right? Our health is our habits. That's what I tell my patients. It's what you choose to do every single day. So that's number one on our seven essentials is structure. And this that I gave you, that's one of the most essential things. And then if you need some more help, then you come see someone, a professional, a chiropractor or someone along those lines. Okay? The next one on there, now before I move, any questions on structure right now? Or maybe if when we do the exercises, we'll feel a little better. The next one on there is no surprise to everybody. And here we are eating. So I don't want anybody to feel guilty as we're talking about diet and nutrition, all right? Now, I'm mostly, when we start here, because we're going to get down the line, and the second to the last one is stress. So I'm not going to talk about the bad stuff that we eat. What I really want to talk about is the good stuff that we eat, all right? Because that to me is where we lack the most. I mean, you know, you can see every report about how much sugar we eat and what our kids are doing and how everything is going bad. But really, the biggest problem I find is that we're not eating enough of the good stuff, okay? As they say, we have a sign that flashes up on the screen at our office. It says, eat organic, or as your grandparents called it, food, right? You just got to eat actual real food. Now, there's an interesting thing, and I know we're not supposed to talk about companies, but I'm going to talk just a little bit about a guy named, Royal Lee. Royal Lee was a dentist. And you want to know a funny part? If you look back in the day, all the best nutritionist people out there that really did the pioneering to nutrition are almost all dentists. Did you know that? And the reason why is because back around the 30s and 40s, dentists were almost non-existent. There, you know, a town would usually have maybe one. And most people didn't need them except for when they had to have a tooth pulled or something that way. But cavities didn't really exist much. Things like that, the dental decay, it almost was non-existent. And so what happened was, all of a sudden, in about the 50s and 60s, dentists started to go, man, I'm all of a sudden getting really busy. Everybody's coming in with these dental problems. You know, what in the world is going on? And so a lot of these dentists want to discover, they tried to discover, why? Why am I getting busy all of a sudden, right? And so they went out and searched. And I always mention two of them. One of them is Dr. Royal Lee, who started a company called Standard Process back in 1929. Dr. Royal Lee, and then the other one is Weston A. Price. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of those. Weston A. Price, he was a really famous nutritionist back in that same time. Those two were actually friends. Now, Weston A. Price, he traveled the entire world. He went out and went to Africa and down to South America, and he was trying to, what he was trying to find, he was trying to find groups of people that were the healthiest. He was trying to find the healthiest group of people, and then he wanted to find out what they were doing. And it's funny because if you read his books, every one of his books, they're all just smiling because all he cared about was their teeth. He was a dentist, right? And so they were all smiling and with their mouths open, and he ended up writing these nutrition books, but as a dentist, all of his pictures were of their teeth, right? And so here's what they discovered, though, was that the biggest thing that we run into of why we run into problems, and it's no surprise, you probably heard it, it's actually the processing. So what they found is that the more our food gets processed, the more it becomes dead food, right? And that's why when people say organic or eat it out of your garden, that's food that's alive. It has nutrition. It has vitamins and minerals. I always look and say, you know, you hear about, milk's an easy target, right? Milk. You hear a lot of people that have, like, milk problems, lactose intolerance. Nowadays, you know, it seems like a lot of people have gluten intolerance and things that way. Most of these intolerances aren't necessarily because of, say, gluten or because of with milk, for example. The reason why most people have problems with milk is because the milk's been pasteurized and homogenized, right? Has anyone grew up on a dairy farm, drink raw milk? Raw milk is a superfood, you know? It has proteins. It has protein, carbohydrates, and fats all in one. That's why babies drink it, right? That you can get almost everything you need in raw milk. But as soon as it becomes pasteurized and homogenized, that's when we say processed food. Now, that they say that they kill off the bacteria, but they also kill all the enzymes. They kill everything that God put in it to help us to digest it. And then it just becomes an allergen. Same thing with gluten and things like that, right? So gluten is just, that's the protein inside of wheat, right? But I'll always say with wheat, the problem with wheat, I really think it's just, you know, you hear about inflammation. That's a bad thing. And it really does become more inflammation. I think half the people that think they have a gluten intolerance or celiac. Now, celiac disease is a whole other thing. So if you mess with that, that's more of a true gluten problem. But you hear all of these people that have gluten intolerances, and in my opinion, most of that is just inflammation because they're eating dead food, and then it just wears on their digestive system and makes it hard. And So they end up having lots of inflammation. It can flare up your joints, and it can make arthritis get worse and things like that. But here's the cool part. If we were to, say, grind our wheat, which is hard, right? It takes time and it's time consuming. If you grind your wheat, that wheat is alive. You still have the wheat germ in it. And yes, there's gluten, but you also have the enzymes that God put in it to help you to digest it. And it becomes a nutrient dense. It becomes vitamins and minerals rather than just fillers and lots of stuff that's been dead for a while. Because the thing is, when you grind the wheat, every 24 hours you lose 10% of the nutrients. It dies, right? And as it dies, then it becomes more of like an allergen, like it's been processed. Most of the bread that you buy on the shelves has been sitting there for, well, it hasn't been sitting there for long, but by the time they grind the wheat and then have to package it, and then by the time it hits the shelves, it's been ground, what, 3 or 4 months ago. Most of that's just become dead. So there are some places, Great Harvest, they ought to pay me money, right? Because I tell everybody, in town, Great Harvest, actually, they grind their wheat every day, right? So it's delicious, right? You know, it tastes a little bit better. But if you can find places that grind their wheat, then you have nutrition. You have food that's alive, that has, you know, stuff in it that's going to help you to digest. So when I talk about nutrition with patients, I always say, you want to eat the real food. Whole food is what we're aiming for.
Kind of like oatmeal. What do you consider oatmeal?
Well, oatmeal is kind of the same thing. If you can get oatmeal that hasn't been sitting on the shelves forever, oatmeal is kind of a mixture. So I'm not a huge fan of oatmeal. I like it because you can get some good calories from it. But you could definitely eat a lot of other things. The other hard part about oatmeal, did you know, when you start, does everyone hear about like blood sugar and things that way? I think as you get older, you start hearing about blood sugar. Did you know that oatmeal spiked your blood sugar almost as high as a Snickers candy bar? And so when you eat oatmeal, it can really brings your blood, the glycemic index is really high. So it gives you some energy early on, but it can drop you pretty quick. Now, if you, no, well, I'm not meaning to scare you, but what you can do is try and find, and around here I haven't found any good spots for oatmeal, but maybe if you could find like at the farmer's market or something, but if it's newly picked, if it's young, and is a whole food. Now there's oatmeal, there I wouldn't be scared of it. You know what I'm saying? But there are healthier choices that you can choose over oatmeal. Things that haven't been, you know, sitting on the shelf for so long. That's kind of the problem. When they get put in boxes and packages, then they lose a lot of their nutrients. So that's one of the things that you can do to help with your nutrition. Eat food that hasn't been sitting on the shelves, hasn't been sitting in a package. That's why, you know, they say stay around the outside edges of the supermarket, because most of that stuff is whole food. Go to the produce department. Now I know if you keep a food storage or something, you got to have stuff that's canned and processed. That'll save your life. But if you're just eating it every day, stay away from the cans as much as you can. Choose food that's been in the grocery or in the produce department more so than cans, and that's something that'll make a big difference. Okay, the other thing, and we've got to put in there, is supplementation. Supplementation. That's why I think a lot of people go, well, I don't want to take a supplement. I think I can get everything from my food. And I say, well, if you eat the right foods, then that's true. But it does take a lot of work. So if you're going to grind your own wheat, you know, and eat lots of liver and organ meats and things that way. See, that's the other interesting part. When you look at the, people don't like this part of the conversation, because meat is not bad. I like meat. I don't tell people to go out and be vegetarians, but I always tell people the best, healthiest part of the animal is the organs, because that's where all the vitamins and minerals are. Most of the meat is just protein and amino acids, and that's good if you're trying to get protein and amino acids, but where the vitamins and minerals and stuff that helps you to eliminate disease and deficiencies and stiffness, that's all in the organs. So unless you're going to eat organ meats and grind your own wheat, then the next place you can look is for supplementation. That's where we look at supplements. So the supplements that I like, that's why it gets into processing again, and this is a whole, I could talk for hours on what kind of supplements you should get. I always just say this. The best supplements shouldn't read like a science project. It shouldn't be a bunch of big words that you can't understand. That means it's been processed, okay? And also, big, giant percentages. If it says 200 or 2,000% of what you should be getting, that usually means it's been processed and it's not an actual real food. What I look for is what's called a proprietary blend. A proprietary blend means what's actually in it. And it should read like a grocery list that you'd never want to buy, because it usually has liver and spleen and adrenals and then a bunch of vegetables, Brussels sprouts and things like that. So when I look for my supplements, I'm looking for a grocery list that my kids would never touch with a 10-foot pole and that I can trick them into eating, right, because they'll never eat liver and things like that. I tried to get them to eat liver. They did like heart, but heart's mostly just muscle anyway. But they didn't like liver. So anyway, that's my take on nutrition. And again, we are scratching the surface with that, but I got to kind of move on. Is there any questions or comments before I move on for that? Because I feel like I opened up a can of worms, and you're all just sitting there wanting more information. But again, it... what you can eat? Vegetables first. Vegetables that aren't in a can. Vegetables first. Fruit second. That isn't in a can, if you can help it. Now, I always do the good, better, best. You've heard of that, right? So good is, you know, if you got to get vegetables in a can, that's good. Better is buying it in the produce department. And best is either organic or growing it in your own garden. You know, if you grow it in your own garden, that's organic, right? That means that you know where it came from. It's good. So growing stuff in your own garden, you're not going to get more nutritious than that. And then, you know, come and talk to me and you'll get my opinion on, again, supplementation at that point of what I think is best. But there's, in my opinion, a limited amount of, it all comes down to money, right? You hear that? When it comes to almost every company. Yes.
How about frozen?
Frozen's better than canned. Yep. Frozen is probably, yeah, that's going to be probably in the better. So good is canned. Better is in the produce department or frozen. Frozen's better. And then best is, again, out of your own garden, or if you can get it at the farmer's market, or organic. So that's and organic, that's a whole other thing, too. My opinion on that, it only has to be 50% organic to be called organic. So, but anyway, that's why I would say the safest is grow your own garden or go down to the farmer's market. We have some good ones. It's getting cold, though, now. Any other questions or concerns on that? And then we'll, okay, hopefully it's not getting too boring. Moving on from that is next, and this goes with what we just talked about, diet. Next is digestion. Now, the reason why we put that separately is because your digestive system is the brain of your health. I know your brain's up here, but your digestive system is the brain of your health, and I've already scratched on some of that. But when you have digestive problems, you could be eating the most nutritious meal in the whole wide world, but if your body can't break it down, then that's a problem. You're not getting it. You're not sucking any of that nutrients in. And so just without, again, getting too complicated and things like that, I usually ask people if you have sensitivity and try and pinpoint what you're having problems with, usually in the macronutrients. Do you get gassy or problems, you know, burps and pain on digestion? If you can figure out whether it's proteins, carbohydrates, or fats, usually those are what trigger a lot of digestion problems, and then we can address that. Now, if you want the free remedy to all of that, there's a few things you can do, and you've probably heard of some of them. We have supplements for all that stuff, but there's stuff that you can do that your mother's probably taught you for years and years. Apple cider vinegar. If you can drink a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in a half a cup of water and put a little bit of honey, and the honey is actually to help you with the digestion. But if anyone wants that recipe, half a cup of water, tablespoon of apple cider vinegar with a dab of honey on top of your meal, that gets rid of so much digestive problems for so many people, you'd be amazed. And all it is, everybody, and here's now I'm going to get up on my soapbox. In the United States, we take so many antacids, right? And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I would guess in this very room, there's lots of people that have to take antacids, right? Antacids, in my opinion, cause all sorts of problems. And once I was at a seminar and asked some European, it was a worldwide place, and they were asking the European doctors what they thought we did here in the United States that was the craziest thing, and they said antacids. They said, why do you guys give so many antacids? Don't you know that ruins their digestive system? And it really does, because if you think about it, you need to have acid in your stomach to break down your food. And so people say, well, it hurts. But what I'll try to explain as fast as I can. What happens is it usually means that you're not breaking down your food originally. And so you get a little bit of an upset stomach. And so what do? You take an antacid. Well, that neutralizes the acid in your stomach. And so it makes it so the food can't really digest. So then that food, say you ate a hamburger, and that hamburger now is sitting in your stomach, and it can't do anything. And so it putrefies. It actually goes rotten in your stomach. And then that rotten food causes more acid the next time you eat. And so then you get stuck in this cycle of taking lots of antacids every time you eat. And then it causes problems every time you're eating. And then number two, and more importantly to me, you're not getting any of the nutrients that you're eating. You're going to start getting deficiencies and health problems because you're not pulling in the nutrients. Does that all make sense? And again, if you wanted to get more into it, you can come and talk to me personally or just ask. You know, there's a lot of help that Kathy, she's... Yeah, that's right. Bring me back and talk about something specifically. But there's ways that you can overcome it, and one of those ways is starting with apple cider vinegar. You know, putting that half a cup of water with a tablespoon of that, that works really great. The other thing is fermented foods. Kimchi, if you're Korean or know someone, kimchi is actually, that is a digestive aid. I will tell you that. People take these probiotics like candy. I always say if you have to take a probiotic every single day, you got to ask yourself why are those bacteria not staying alive? You ought to be able to create an environment in your stomach so you don't have to keep colonizing. That's just good bacteria, but if they keep dying, why is it dying? And something like kimchi or sauerkraut, if you're a sauerkraut eater, eat that sauerkraut like candy. That stuff's going to help, that's going to keep the good bacteria alive in your stomach. So fermented foods, that's a free, you know, instead of taking a supplement, that's a free way for you to help your digestive system. Okay? Is that grossing everybody out enough? I know I'm making you eat liver and sauerkraut, and what else can I find that's really gross, right? There's other thing, an apple cider vinegar, right? So there, that's your diet. And I actually, if I need it now, but once it's good and regulated, it should only take, you know, maybe a month or two until you can get that regulated. You don't have to take it a lot and over and over. But once you can get your health in order, then your body will take over, and you don't need any antacids. You don't need any more apple cider vinegar. You don't have to eat as much, you know, sauerkraut and kimchi and things like that. But That's helpful. Question?
On the apple cider vinegar, don't you need one that still has the mother in it versus the processed?
Yes. It makes a difference. Even the one without the mother in it is going to be more effective because it's going to help to acidify the stomach. And I know that scares everybody. They think, oh, no, acid. But remember, that acid is what breaks it down. It gets much better if you can get it at a health food store that's got, it usually has stuff floating in it if it's good. What's that?
Walmart now sells.
Oh, good. Organic. So there you go. Yeah, so you want to get it organic and whole, and it'll say, Mother, it's usually got some stuff floating in there. And it's fermented food, right? Okay, so that's what we're talking about, digestion. And there's other things that you can do, but those little hints really help a lot of patients. Okay? Next, we'll move on really quick to hormones. I know hormones can cause all sorts of problems, and that's what we help to regulate. I'm not even going to open the can much on hormones right now. That's one of our seven essentials in our office. All I would say is actually, if you can take care of the other stuff, the diet and the digestion, hormones will almost always regulate themselves, almost always. There are oftentimes things that we have to do to help regulate that, but if you can control and if you give your body enough nutrients, it'll heal itself. One other thing that I didn't say with digestion, another thing that you can do for free that costs nothing that will help you so much is hydration. And I know that if there's potty problems that no one wants to hydrate enough because then they're already spending enough time in the toilet already. But I say you should be drinking half your body weight in ounces. That should be a minimum. Half your body weight in ounces of water. Okay? And if you're drinking something other than water, like that's got calories in it, you only get to count about half of that. Half of that goes towards water. The rest gets recognized as calories. But you should be drinking half your body weight in ounces. If you're not drinking that, don't go out after this and start drinking half your body weight in ounces because you'll spend half your day in the bathroom. But what you can do is up your water intake by about a half a cup a day. Your bladder is a dynamic organ, and it will slowly stretch so that you don't have to use the bathroom as much. But that's something that you can do that really helps with a lot of health problems. I feel like about a fourth of what I see in my office is just dehydration problems. And that includes, you know, we run into so many disc problems and things like that. If you picture all that the disc is just a jelly donut, right? And that jelly in the middle just needs fluid. And if you become dehydrated, then that disc, you know, it can't really function how it's supposed to. So by getting enough water, then you can really help with a lot of disc problems and really everything else, you know, cardiovascular, and the list can go on and on and on. Our bodies need water, okay? So that's another free thing when it comes with, and people always ask, what's the best kind of water? And I say, if you're not drinking enough, as long as it's wet, you're good. Okay, there's other, you know, reverse osmosis and filtered and spring water and blah, blah, blah. Yes, there's better options that are out there. But I always say first start with the wet stuff and then come talk to me and we'll find something better after that. But if you're not drinking enough, just start with even tap water. And I know there's people out there that would come and slap me for that. But just drink water at first and then you can get more detailed after that. Okay, that's why I say, I tell my patients, healthier today than you were yesterday. So just start baby steps. If I told you you had to go out and buy a reverse osmosis system for your house and it's $30,000, you're going to say, I'll do it another time after I'm dead, right? Okay, the next one you knew was coming, and that's exercise. Okay? Now, Ralph will tell you, we see it all the time. Not many people get enough exercise. One thing I'll say just... the list can go on and on and on. I already gave you your stabilizing exercises. Just get out and do something. Walk, right? And here's the thing that I always say, though. The biggest problem that Ralph and I run into when we're training people at the gym is injuries. Because people, I heard one time a guy came up to me and he said, every once in a while I wake up and I just feel like going out and conquering the world, going out and starting a new workout and really getting healthy. And I said, really? So what do you do? He says, I go lay down until that urge passes. You know? And I said, so what I say is start out really slow. I'll even tell patients that if you walk across the room, start with that. You know, if you're usually pretty sedentary, start with walking across the room. And you want to increase your workouts by 10% per week, both time and intensity. So if you just say, you know, 2 days this week I'm going to walk across the room and then start doing a little bit of math and just increase it by 10% per week. And if you do that, you're not going to run into you're not going to run into a lot of injuries. You're going to start feeling better. You're going to be able to do more and more. And as you just gradually do it, you're going to start feeling better. So that's why I say healthier today than you were yesterday, 10% per week. Don't go any faster than that or you're going to run into problems. So that's what I say with exercise. There's a whole bunch. You can get online and look on YouTube, do Tai Chi, do yoga. Just get out and walk, but do something physical. And then you got Ralph right here as a resource. Ask him. Does he? Okay. So he does class. Go to Ralph's class. Get out there and go to his class and just do something. Well, right now, I used to be over at Ralph's. I don't train anymore. I got too busy at my office, so I had to say... And we had too many kids. By the child number 5, I said, I'm done with this training stuff. I know, you said 13. I respect that. There we go. So, see, but you're good that way. But I was good. At 5, that's when I said, I'm done training. Now, I still exercise. And Ralph, no, I'm mostly a runner at this point. So I get out and run. With Ralph, that's my exercise. That's my stress relief, and I do a little bit of. I did the Boston Marathon this year for the first time, and that was really fun. Thank you. Yep. So that was a blast, but that's just. I always say the best thing for your health, for your exercise, is to set a goal, right? And that's what you want to aim for. I don't care if your goal is to walk 1 mile. If you start with going across the room and increase it 10% per day, you're going to get there. Per week, sorry. 10% per week. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or comments on exercise? Most of you probably know what you need to do already. It's just getting it up, and you've got resources out there. Okay. Yes?
You said the apple cider vinegar water was after a meal?
On top of your meal. Yep. You just, as soon as you're done with your meal, that makes you be careful how much you eat, too, because if you eat too much, you're not going to feel like drinking any apple cider vinegar. So that helps with portion control, but you usually do it on top of your meal. And so you can kind of just set it there almost like in a shot glass so you can just kind of down it afterwards, and that works well. Okay. The next one is stress. Now, stress, I always say, I talk about stress in three categories. Everybody thinks of stress is mental stress. There's three kinds of stress, and we've already talked about one of them for sure. The three kinds of stress are mental or emotional. The next one is physical, so we've talked about that as well. And the last one is chemical, okay? And we talked about that because that's in our diet. So we've already hit on two of the three. And this is where, if I had to, I always kind of get into this. See, stress. The last two are stress and thoughts. And thoughts is when I start talking about church stuff too. But even stress, it goes the same way. God wants us to be happy. You knew that, right? And the cool part about it is that we can explain it scientifically as well. People always say that those two don't get along, science and God, but they really do. When you start looking at it, God designed us to be happy. I mean, even look at how many chemicals he put in our body to cause us to be happy. Okay? I talk about the big four, EDSO, endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, and EDSO. Which one? Endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, and what's the one I'm... oxytocin, the strongest one of all. That's the one that when mothers bond with their children. That's oxytocin. And so when it comes to our bodies, God put in our bodies lots and lots of ways for us to be happy, okay? And then he gave us some things so that we can set off the fire alarm, right? And that's cortisol. And you've all hopefully heard of cortisol. Cortisol puts the belly fat right around your belly right here, and that's from chronic stress. So when it comes to stress, I always say you need to find what works for you. For some, it's exercise. For some, it's listening to, you know, music or things that way. Now, it's interesting. I said physical stress is one of them. Right now, I'm not training very hard because training for a marathon is stressful, right? And not just emotionally, but physically. That's a lot of stress. People always ask me, do you marathon to stay healthy? And I go, heavens, no. Marathoning makes you less healthy, in my opinion. And Ralph will probably argue with that a little bit because it makes you feel good, but mostly because of the dopamine. Because when you hit the finish line, you know, God put that chemical in us to make us feel happy and we feel accomplished. But man, the wear and tear on your body from running a marathon, there's no way that that's super healthy. You can't convince me of that. It's mostly because I have a goal and I want to accomplish it, and that makes me feel good. But right now, you know, I have a little bit too much on my plate, so what I tell my wife, my exercise right now is I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I walk with my wife. That's it. We hold hands and walk because I told her I got too much emotional stress and I'm watching what I eat, but my body can't take that physical stress right now. I just can't train that hard. So I want to keep exercising but keep the stress levels low. If you can control the stress in your life, you're almost all set because almost everything else starts working again. And then, you know, if you can watch what you're eating and control that chemical stress, and then, yes?
I have heartburn all the time, especially early morning or at night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that caused by emotional stress also?
It could be stress, or it could be what we just talked about with digestion. You may not have enough acid. There may be something that way. So it sounds like there's something digestive going on.
Mm-hmm. For dinner, I just have a light dinner at night, and then it still occurs. I take antacid and everything, and it's still. And I found out that when I think about, you know, all the stress? Light,
that may be it. Uh-huh. And so it could be. It could be because of stress. Again, the problem with stress, especially chronic stress, again, I always go back to God because he's the one who explained it best. He put in our body what's called our autonomic nervous system, right? That's rest and digest or fight or flight. So if we're getting chased by something or there's a problem, he put in our body the ability to, you know, our pupils dilate, our digestive system starts shutting down. That's why you can get the heartburn. You become rigid. You see lots of tight muscles and things that way. Those are signs of stress. Now, is that a good thing? Yes. He put it in us, right? It's supposed to be there, but it's supposed to be there for short periods of time, for bursts, and then you're supposed to come back down. What happens nowadays is we just are bombarded. We're bombarded with the air we breathe is polluted, in my opinion. The food, you know, we're getting bombarded by every angle with stressors, both physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. And so what we've got to do is try and bring the stress down, okay, and stop the chronic stress. We got to get down to that rest and digest. And that's when I say it's kind of everybody has their own thing. But you've got to find either exercise and maybe coming in or talking to your doctor, coming in and talking to us, and we can maybe get it figured out. Because sometimes if you can't figure it out on your own, which I think in most cases you can, you know, I think if you really put a lot of effort into it, about 50% of the time you can take care of it on your own. And then if you can't, then that's when you come talk to somebody like us or your medical doctor or someone to try and help take care of that. The other interesting part I'll say, and this is going back to nutrition, if you become deficient in two things, B vitamins and your minerals, you'll feel lots of stress, lots and lots of stress. One of our there's a supplement I use called Mintran, and it's funny because it stands for mineral tranquilizer. But it doesn't make it doesn't tranquilize you, it's a calmative, you know, but it's mostly just minerals. That's all it is. It's mostly made of kelp. You know, again, stuff that you won't eat. I hate kelp. It's horrible. But I'll take the Mintran if I need it. But anyway, so it all comes down to that. And then the last thing that we had on there going right along with thoughts or stress is our thoughts. Okay, and that's kind of where I'll finish. We got about 10 minutes here because we've already talked a lot about thoughts. But hopefully you absorbed some of that. I forgot all my notes, right? So that was just me talking from my brain and trying to pull as much as I thought. Hopefully I at least gave you something to think about. The other thing is goals. Yes?
Would you address kefir?
Kefir's awesome. But kefir goes right along with the fermented food. See, kefir is just a live bacteria. And if you can take that, again, it kind of goes along with like the kimchi and the sauerkraut. It helps your digestive system. And especially to digest carbohydrates, which a lot of us have a hard time with carbohydrates anyway. If you have a hard time with bread or vegetables or anything that way, kefir will be a great option. Now, the one thing I will say is you'll see a lot sold. There's a lot of kefir out there, and some of it is, in my opinion, you know, it's more marketing than otherwise. If if you get your own kefir and keep it alive with the raw milk, and there is a place down here in St. George that sells raw milk. I can't remember the name of it.
Good Health on 700.
That's it, over on 700. Good Health. It's over by Arby's. Okay, so kefir is it's like a probiotic. It's a bacteria, but it's a good bacteria. People are all scared of bacteria. Did you know that the average adult has about 5 pounds of bacteria on you right now? 5 pounds. 90% of it, though, is good. 90% of it helps you to digest your food. That's why people take probiotic. You hear probiotic, right? Probiotics are just bacteria. You're taking bacteria. That's what you're eating. But though that's the good bacteria. So
kefir is a good place to get the brand.
Actually, I saw kefir at Costco in one of the freezers.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I haven't checked out the one at Costco. I would really encourage you to go to the health food stores for the kefir and ask them for. So there's one just right down the street here at the Natural Grocers, and then the one that we're talking about over on 900 over by Arby's. See, my brain turns off. But go to a health food store, even Dixie Nutrition would probably have some good kefir, and ask them, I want some good kefir. And a lot of times nowadays you can buy it. When I first got into kefir, when I was in chiropractic school, you'd have to go and get you'd have to find someone who had a live kefir, you know, who had the kefir, because it's like a plant. And you'd have to keep it alive with raw milk because it needed to eat the raw milk. And then you would just continue to keep it alive. Well, that's what the kefir eats. Yes. For help. There you go. It's for your digestion. But you can go to a health food store and ask them. It doesn't always have to be milk. That's just the way that I was introduced to it, but kefir is a digestive aid that helps. Remember, we talked about the brain of your health is your digestive system. And so by taking kefir, I wasn't aware of that history of it, but it's good for you, but it helps to break down mainly carbohydrates. Well, so the wine has, there's a lot of different good things with wine. And, you know, whether you get into heart health or digestive health or things, or mental health. There you go. Calmative, there you go. Anti-stress, right? So, it comes down to stress. I honestly think that's why, you know, you hear about the health benefits of wine. And I think it's the anti-stress that, you know, because it helps you, it triggers rest and digest. And it gets you away from fight or flight. Yes?
Can you just touch on acupuncture for a minute?
Oh, yeah. I do acupuncture. Didn't even talk about it. Acupuncture is, boy, now you've opened up a big can. I'll try and give the quick answer. So acupuncture, in my office, I will admit that I mainly use acupuncture for musculoskeletal health. If you come in and you've got back pain or neck pain, and I typically will use a Japanese type of acupuncture that uses electric stimulators. They're set at 8 hertz. 8 hertz is the electrical frequency that our bodies run at. You know, when God designed our body, we're kind of just fancy computers if you look at it. We got the motherboard up here in our brain, and we're electric. We could light a light bulb. We have enough electricity to basically light the light bulb in a refrigerator. And so acupuncture mainly helps to heal through addressing that electrical flow through us. And I use, again, more the Japanese. I also use Chinese acupuncture. That's more when you look at, you know, you see the bodies with all the dots all over. Those are meridians. And those meridians are tied into organs. So you can address almost any health condition with acupuncture. I always just say it depends on what the condition is, what our percentage of success is. Musculoskeletal, we do great in our office. Other ones, you know, stress. I would dare say I do a lot of stress patterns. I usually use a kidney liver pattern, which is a good one. And the funny part is with the kidney liver pattern, almost all of them are digestive. Again, stomach 36, large intestine LI4, large intestine 4, and things like that. Those are. And I know that's just confusing talking about that, but there's balance. There's two types when I always explain it. There's balancing to help bring your body to homeostasis where it's supposed to be, and the other one is to stimulate healing. So you take the needles, you put it into damaged or torn tissue, and you can stimulate it to heal.
Is acupuncture with arthritis?
Yeah, acupuncture can help with arthritis. Now, typically when it comes to arthritis, I personally we'll sometimes do acupuncture, or we'll just talk more about, again, nutrition, getting inflammation levels low, taking things that will help to get rid of the stiffness, the inflammation in our bodies. And that's also where we use a lot of adjusting. The interesting part when it comes to arthritis, the best thing you can do is pain-free movement. You got to get out and move. The reason why you get arthritis is because you're not moving equally. You know, you've had some sort of injury, and so you sit for too long and become sedentary, and the body just builds up scar tissue, you know, because when God designed us, he made us to be use it or lose it, right? So if you don't use your joints, if you don't use your heart, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And that's all arthritis is that we've either not used it enough or used it improperly. And so that's when we go in and we try and make all the joints move equally, right? So that all, and that's why when Kathy can show, I use this little computer that we check the movement of all the joints, because if we can get them all moving equally, then that helps to get rid of some of the stiffness and things that way. So that's mainly what we do for arthritis and things that way. But
it's covered by Medicare.
It is covered by Medicare, yes.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Not the acupuncture, but the adjustments are. So in my office, Medicare covers adjustments. That's all. They say you're a chiropractor, we'll cover the one thing you do, we cover adjustments. They don't cover any of the other stuff. But we do, for our Medicare patients, we do the therapies for free, the electro things and things now. That's new, Kathy, by the way, now that we're in the new office. The therapies are free, but that doesn't include the acupuncture and things that way. But What I usually try to say, you know what, let's try and get you better using the stuff that your insurance covers. And if it doesn't, then we'll talk about the stuff that isn't covered, and we'll talk about costs and things that way. That's always my philosophy. Let's go here and then. Yep.
As people get older, we all have balance issues.
Okay.
So what type of thing can you do that has something to do with your balance?
Balance. So to me, balance is kind of a tough one because it can be coming from multiple different places. It can be coming from the cervical spine. In fact, just last week, two patients came in that were completely dizzy and couldn't stand up straight, and we adjusted their neck and they stood up and were good. That's called cervicogenic. It's coming because there's a pinch on a nerve. The other one is it can be more neurological up into the brain. That's a little tougher for us to treat. We can try and do it with acupuncture or something that way, but most of the time we end up sending to the balance center. And then the other is from the ears, if it's the crystals in the ears. And sometimes we can, there's different techniques and things that we can do there, the Apley's maneuver and things that way that we do in the office, or a conjunction of like an Apley's with adjusting the neck that can help with people with balance. And to be honest, the majority of the time with people with balance issues, we can get them doing better, but depending on what it's coming from, if it's more neurological and inner ear, we can get it better, but it's oftentimes hard to completely resolve without them doing a lot of homework themselves. Remember, we talked about diet again. If you can get your inflammation levels down, once again, isn't this interesting how everything comes down to diet? If you can get your inflammation levels down, that takes a lot of the pressure out of the inner ear. And I've seen people heal themselves. You heard, not me. We just give them the tools. But they heal themselves of that by bringing inflammation levels down. So diet again. Darn it. I know.
Sugar.
Yeah, sugar, exactly. Yes. Did you? No? Okay. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
Okay, I've had this sciatica, and do you have any treatment for it?
Yeah, everything that we had just said. I probably see sciatica 2 or 3 times a day. And yeah, that's one that we see a lot of good success with, either with adjustments or acupuncture or exercise or diet, all of the stuff that we've talked about today. And again, I'll always tell every patient, I say, we try and give you tools. If you rely on me every time, I can adjust it. And you know how, what do you always hear about a chiropractor? Once you go, you get, that's the joke, right? The joke is, how many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? It just takes one. But it takes 7 to 10 treatments to do it, right? Right? So the joke is that you got to keep going back. But the problem is not necessarily, it's not the treatment. It's that's if that's all you're doing is getting adjusted, that's like scratching the surface of your health, right? I mean, we just talked about 7 points. And of those 7, we just talked about adjusting is 1, right? So if you're just coming in and getting adjusted without looking at the other 6, you know, is it going to get better? Yeah, that's when patients come in and go, it gets a little bit better, but it doesn't go all the way away. And that's when I say,
I walk 1.5 miles.
Perfect. That's going to be helpful for the sciatic, and especially if you address all these other things with the diet and get even the hormones and things with sciatica. Again, it's inflammation, getting all that down. You can really help yourself a lot by the habits. Our health is our habits, what you do every single day. You know, and I always say chiropractic to me is part of my habit. I get you know, regular adjustments, but that's just me. That's lose a little weight. That helps with almost everybody. But here's what I always say: if you're eating properly and giving yourself proper nutrition, like we have a thing called the purification program, which I do on a pretty regular basis, and it feels like a big heavy diet. But I'll always tell patients, you eat as much food as you can, basically, but it's just the proper foods. And it's interesting, I just finally convinced my wife to do this purification with us, and it's funny because she finally did it. And she said, I've never been so full. She says, I feel like all I do is eat. And she lost 9 pounds, and she's already really little, you know. And she said, how did I lose weight? I felt stuffed full. And I said, because for the first time in a long time, you're giving yourself proper nutrition when the body is fed, not just fed with macronutrients, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, but fed with nutrients, vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, things that the body needs, it will function properly, and it will literally, you know, start.
I eat healthy food. I don't eat any meat or fatty foods. I don't eat fried foods or this sugar, you know, like cookies. This is the first time I eat this.
Okay. Well, then, and it sounds like with you, and that's why I say some people, if you're doing everything right, then that's where you may need to come in and get some help, either with me or somewhere else, something else. You need to help tip the scale a little bit more. And so then I would encourage you, that's probably where you need to seek someone else, get outside help. You know what I'm saying? So, cool. Any other questions, concerns? Did I answer that? I hope so. Yeah?
Thank you.
We got it. Thank you. Now, I guess if anybody wants to see these exercises, I'll show you. You've got your, I do have, I got card. They're brand new. We got them in today because it's got the new address and all the...